What should we do to be sure that we are going to heaven? That is the first sentence in a sermon by Billy Graham that I actually taped off the television, and we're going to be examining that on this Wednesday, June the 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel, here on Worldwide KFUO Radio. And the purpose of examining Law and Gospel is to be able to use it not only on Bible passages and doctrines, on evangelism, missions, but also to examine sermons. First, what I'm going to do, and we'll probably not be taking calls today because I'll need the entire time to go through this, but I'm going to read the sermon as Billy Graham preached it, and then we're going to go over it, and I'm going to give you a technique on how to analyze sermons. So here's the sermon. What should we do to be sure that we are going to heaven? To be sure that our sins are forgiven? To change our way of life here on earth? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance means to be sorry enough to quit. You turn around. But you don't have the power to do that. You can't give up the things that are wrong. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to help you to change, to turn loose of those things you know are wrong. Secondly, you must have faith. And that word faith means commitment. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God gave power to become the sons of God even to them that believe. If you believe, if you commit, He will receive you. By grace you are saved. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. You can't do anything to earn it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. I'm asking you to renew your commitment. You may be confirmed, baptized, or whatever, but you are not sure how you stand before God and you want to be sure. I'm going to ask you to get up and come. You can receive Christ right now where you are. They received Christ in their heart and found assurance of their faith by watching one of these telecasts. They heard the gospel. It's good news that God will forgive you and change you and come into your life and give you a new power to live for Him. But you must make that commitment to Him wherever you are. You can receive Jesus into your heart right now. Okay. Can you understand why many people believe that Billy Graham is a wonderful preacher? Because at first hearing, there seems to be so many things in there that sound good. But what we're going to be looking at is analyzing it from a law and gospel perspective. So I need just a bit of time to share with you what that analysis looks like. What I do when I go around doing various sermons, as also lectures, I set up a chart, a law and gospel chart. I've talked to you about this before, but for those of you who may not be aware, you start with a cross, which ends up giving you two columns. And at the top of the left column, I put living under the law. At the top of the right column, I put living under the gospel. That's from Romans 6:14, where Paul says we are no longer under law, but under grace. Now, the point that is made there is when you are under law, you are under the thumb of the law. You're under the curse of the law. And therefore, you think and act like Satan. When you're living under the gospel, you think and act like God. So which do you do? Well, we do both. Our old Adam always is living under the law. The new man is always living under the gospel. So I know on the radio it's a little hard here, but imagine that you have this two-column chart in front of you. At the top is the title, Sermon by Billy Graham. On the left-hand side is Living Under the Law. On the right-hand side is Living Under the Gospel. As we go through the sermon, we place his statements under either the left side or under the right side. And then we have a little explanation about that. If you have most of the sermon, or, well, shall I say, any of the sermon on the left side, you are not truly hearing a law and gospel sermon. Now, before I begin, let me assure you, I do believe that Billy Graham is going to be in heaven. The best sermon I ever heard, the best funeral sermon, was the one that Billy Graham did for Richard Nixon. It was just wonderful, because when Richard Nixon died, of course, people may have wondered, he's probably not going to heaven because of how he treated the presidency. But Billy Graham brought forth the grace of God so clearly, the forgiveness of sins, that it was a very good comfort to the family of Richard Nixon. Now, of course, there was no invitation at the end of the sermon because we're talking about a person who is dead. And I'll make more about that as I get on. So let me assure you, Billy Graham is a Christian, but being of a somewhat Southern Baptist tradition, we therefore disagree with him on a number of areas, including infant baptism, the millennial, and as we're going to see, decision theology. So let's start off. Now, it's difficult to do this when you're listening to a sermon, but if you can get a transcript of the sermon, it's more easy to put these statements either on the left side or the right side. His first statement was this: what should we do to be sure that we are going to heaven? Now, at first hearing, that could go on either side. For example, the answer to that question, if it's done in a proper law and gospel sermon, is that you can do nothing. That's right. There's nothing you can do to be sure that you are going to heaven. Because we believe, teach, and confess that assurance comes from what God does, not from what you do. So the question could be on the right side, living under the gospel, but we're going to put it on the left side, living under the law, because Billy Graham's sermon is going to tell you what you are to do in order to be sure of your salvation. And it's much more than being sure of your salvation in order for you to be saved. And as Jesus says to the rich man in Mark 10, after the disciples ask him, who then can be saved? Jesus is pretty clear. With men, it is impossible. Therefore, to have a sermon where you're actually going to make sure that you're saved by what you do would be a way of Satan thinking. So, although the question could go on either side, in light of the context of the sermon, we're putting it on the left side. This is a living under the law. Remember, living under the law, it's what you do that makes the difference as to whether you go to heaven. Okay, next part of the sermon, after what should we do to be sure that we are going to heaven, to be sure that our sins are forgiven and to change our way of life here on earth, notice that there's nothing you can do to have your sins forgiven. And there's nothing you can do to change your way of life here on earth. Well, we're talking here about unbelievers. Because they have no faith in the true God, there's nothing they're able to do. So if you're having a sermon telling unbelievers what they are to do, that is simply not a Christian sermon. Because they can't do anything. But Billy Graham is going to show them that they can. Next statement, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, that's the first statement I put on the right side, living under the gospel. Remember, living under the gospel just doesn't refer to gospel all the time. It refers in the wider sense to gospel of how God thinks. And Jesus himself says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I would put that on the right side. That is a proper statement to make. But then the next two, I put on the left side. Repentance means to be sorry enough to quit. You turn around. Now, for a long time here on Law and Gospel, we've been talking about who is driving the verbs. We get that from Dr. Nagel, a professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. What he means by that, who is the subject of the sentence in regard to how you are saved? According to Billy Graham, repentance means to be sorry enough to quit. No, that's not the proper definition in the Bible. Repentance is contrition, sorrow over sin, and being terrified of God. That's why in Martin Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments, he always begins, we should fear and love God. And is it true that you turn around? Is that what repentance means? There is definitely a turning around, but it's not by you. And the best example I can give is, of course, the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. The sheep doesn't see the shepherd coming, jump up and rushes on his shoulders and is carried home. No, the shepherd finds the sheep. The shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders. The shepherd walks back through the wilderness, taking the sheep home. The sheep definitely has been turned around, but not by his own power, but by the power of the shepherd. So, repentance doesn't mean being sorry enough to quit, because we have an old Adam. The old Adam never is that sorry. Our new man is sorry enough to quit, but the old Adam just likes to sin. That's why we sin by thought, word, and deed every day. Now, the next two sentences, the next three, in fact, I put on the right side. But you don't have the power to do that. You can't give up the things that are wrong. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Now, those statements are all true. They're biblically true. It's the way God thinks. I almost put that's why you need the Holy Spirit on the left side, because what we're going to see is a confusion that Billy Graham has about the use of the Spirit. You see, he's trying to give the impression that you have to do something. He's now said that you don't have the power to do that, but you need the Holy Spirit. Now, there's two reasons you need the Holy Spirit. The Lutheran reason is because the Holy Spirit is going to do it for you. The Billy Graham reason is that the Holy Spirit is going to give you the power to do it for yourself. And we're going to see that. So the statement, that's why you need the Holy Spirit, that's a correct statement, but not if you mean that the Holy Spirit is going to give you the power to do that. Now, where do they get that idea? Well, let's go back to the rich man. Comes to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Jesus tells him, well, obey the commandments. Rich man says, I've obeyed all these from my youth. Jesus says, well, one thing out of a million others that you lack is you have trust in money. And he goes away sorrowful. And the disciples then are astonished. Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, is Jesus saying that rich people can't be saved? No. He's answering the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is saying, rich man, poor man, good-looking man, ugly man, any man, woman, or child, it's as impossible to do something as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's the problem. So what are we going to say about this? What we're going to say about it is that, yes, you need the Holy Spirit, but for what reason? Well, it comes in that rich man where the disciples ask Jesus, who then can be saved? And remember what Jesus says, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Now we need to understand that. When it says with men it is impossible, everybody pretty well agrees that man all by himself, it is impossible to do something to get into the kingdom of heaven. But what happens is evangelicals, and that is those who believe in decision theology, they reinterpret the next part. But with God, all things are possible. The Lutheran understanding of that is God does it for you all by himself and then transfers the benefits over to you by the means of grace. But evangelicals believe that with God's help, then it is possible for me to do something to get saved. See the difference? And that's why Billy Graham starts his sermon, what should we do to be sure that we are going to heaven? If he had a proper understanding of the rich man, the answer is you can do nothing. But he really believes you have to do something. And that is because a lack of trust in the sacraments of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We'll get into that in a moment. So why do you need the Holy Spirit? remember, from a Lutheran point of view, so that he can transfer over to you all the blessings of salvation, free of charge by grace, that Jesus won for you. But for Billy Graham, you need the Holy Spirit to help you to change, to turn loose of those things you know are wrong. You see, that's part of what repentance is, according to him. Well, I don't believe you can do that until you are totally saved. The next statement I put on the living under the gospel side. Secondly, you must have faith. And that's a correct statement. But then on the left-hand side, he says, and that word faith means commitment. Oh, really? No, when I say I believe you, I'm not committing myself to you. I'm just saying I trust what you're saying in that particular circumstance. Faith is trusting. And therefore, notice how faith is changed by Billy Graham to one of commitment, which is something you do, to one of trust, which is something the Holy Spirit places in you. The reason I'm saved is not because of my faith. I'm saved because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But I receive the benefits through faith. The next statement is also correct. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. God gives power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. Now, that is really a very good statement, that it is impossible to please him. God gives power. But now listen how Billy Graham takes those two good statements, and the next sentence has to go on the left side. If you believe, if you commit, he will receive you. Wow. I don't remember that in the parable of the lost sheep. In fact, I don't remember that in the conversion of St. Paul. Where was St. Paul believing? Where was St. Paul committing himself to Jesus Christ? Before Jesus received him on the road to Damascus. There was no faith. There was no commitment. You see, Jesus receives those who don't deserve to be received, like me, like you, like the prostitutes, like the tax collectors, like anybody. We call this conditional salvation. Anytime you hear an if before you're saved, then it's up to you to be saved. You must believe. You must commit. Then he will receive you. Oh, what kind of God is that? I don't even want to believe in a God like that, because I don't think I've ever believed and committed myself sufficiently to him. Now, the next five statements are good statements. By grace, you're saved. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. You can't do anything to earn it. See, that's a great statement. How come the rest of the sermon contradicts it? And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So that's so good. All those statements are correct. But in the context of what he's doing, he's setting you up as to what you need to do in order to be saved. And that's the very next statement. I'm asking you to renew your commitment. Then he says, you may be confirmed, baptized, or whatever, but you are not sure how you stand before God and you want to be sure. Now, I put that living under the gospel. That's a correct statement. You see, living under the gospel, you give correct law and correct gospel. And there are people who have been confirmed and baptized, and they don't understand what happened in that fully. So they need to be reminded of that every Sunday. So that's correct. You may not be sure how you are saved. Now, he begins the part where now you can be sure. I'm going to ask you to get up and come forward. And I think all of us have seen that on his television programs where people are coming forward. And he says to those on the television who are watching on television, you can receive Christ right now where you are. And he talks about they received Christ in their heart and found assurance of their faith by watching one of these telecasts. Well, nobody receives assurance by watching a telecast. You receive assurance by trusting in the gospel, which may or may not be said during a telecast. The next statements of Billy Graham are correct. They heard the gospel, it's good news that God will forgive you. And then he says, and change you. That's not necessarily true. I mean, there's no doubt that, for example, some people who have addictions, they repent of that, they try and stop it, but it comes back every now and then. How many times are we to forgive? Just 7 times? No, 70 times 7. 490 times. And then he says, and he will come into your life. And he give you a new power to live for him. Yes, Jesus comes into your life, but he doesn't do it by you making a decision. In fact, here is the end of the sermon. And listen as to whether this is living under the law or living under the gospel. In other words, is this law or is this gospel? Here it is. But you must make that commitment to him. Wherever you are, you can receive Jesus into your heart right now. See, that's the way the devil thinks. The devil wants you to be under the impression that God will not receive you until you make the proper commitment to him. This makes Christianity like every other religion in the world, where there is something you have to do. Now, somebody may say, after reading that and analyzing that, how can you say that Billy Graham is a Christian? Well, remember, God judges the heart, not the head. Our heads are often messed up. That's why we always go to church and Bible study, in order that our head may catch up to our heart. I believe that Billy Graham's heart is in the right place. He just hasn't been taught properly the distinctions between law and gospel and justification by grace through faith. So he's really trying to answer the question that the Bible never answers. Why are some saved and others aren't? Well, some are saved, according to Billy Graham, because they make that commitment. Now listen to this. You must make that commitment to him, then you can receive Jesus into your heart right now. You see, a commitment means faith. But the Bible is very clear. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you want to commit yourself to Jesus, you don't have to invite him into your heart. He's already there. Because it is impossible for anyone to believe in Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, by the way, on my website, lawandgospel101.com, that's the new website, lawandgospel101.com, if you join the membership site for $10 a month, it just so happens that this analysis of Billy Graham's sermon is the last item I put up there. We have 40 items, and you get one every week, not just once a month, but every week. And so I also have the Law and Gospel charts. It's a video with me speaking, and so it's a lot easier to follow than sometimes doing on the radio. But you can still use this law and gospel understanding, this charting, to analyze the sermon that you hear on the radio or perhaps from your own church. As I met someone not too long ago, they said, you know, the pastor is very good in the Bible study. He really knows his law and gospel, but we don't hear it in the sermon. And I encouraged him to go and speak to him and tell him also to put it in the sermon. So we'll see what's going to happen there. Yes, the website, lawandgospel101.com. And that's what we're encouraging you to go to. By the way, if you also go there, you can put your name and email address, and you get on our email list. You get a free item immediately. That is the theological paper on Heaven is for Real, at no cost, just by signing up. And then there's some more things coming and some more special prices. Tomorrow on Law and Gospel, you know how many times a Christian says, I couldn't have got through that funeral without Jesus. How do humanists get through the funerals of a loved one? We're going to talk about that tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz. I'm Tom Baker. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.